You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 23rd of February. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb global headquarters, Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Mateta Tulari, getting earnings seasons kicking off. I want to touch on Sasol avoiding the rights issue, and the banks can start paying dividends. Peter Munford, Supergroup CEO, as they published results. And then Petri Radenhuisen, Jubilee Metals, but also a comment he made to me recently, those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities coming once a year, not once a lifetime. Yesterday's poll, does market response to recent results, particularly we were talking retail, worry you? Nope, ran off to updates, so it was 21% of you. Yes, I'm concerned, 38%. Some, but not all, 41%. I kind of fell into that bracket. Sabania, fine, and in fact it had a good Monday, but the Truers, maybe not so much. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb, wealth tax unlikely, says audit firm Ernst Young, or EY as they call themselves these days. I think we're not going to get a wealth tax. Mbeweni has some extra cash that they have found. We'll escape that. Business day, banks get go-ahead to resume dividends. Notice put out late on Friday. Deputy Governor, however, warns banks to tread carefully. Banks always tread carefully. Morning markets, US was red, S&P off 0.8, NASDAQ off 2.5%. Asia is green, Sydney and Tokyo up 0.5%. Commodities green, gold $1,811, Rand 1465. Top 40, looking for a green open, 235 points, it's about 0.4%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mateta Tulari. He's head FX execution, RMB. Mateta, morning. Appreciate your early morning time. The Sasol results yesterday, lots there. To me, the standout was they've managed to slash their debt by $63 billion. They've still got a lot of debt, but they managed to avoid that rights issue, and that at one point was going to be $2 billion. It would have been the biggest ever on the JSE. And that really is the accomplishment from management. I mean, they can take a bow, surely.
Yeah, sure. Good morning, Simon. Quite an interesting one. Obviously, the South African chemicals and fuel maker Sasol, they have said that they've raised enough cash through asset disposal and cost savings to avoid this potential $2 billion share sale. I mean, they said that the decision was not made to pursue the rights issue given obviously the current macroeconomic outlook and the significant progress that they'd made on their plan initiatives. I mean, the balance sheet deleveraging pathway will continue to be prioritized to ensure that obviously they operate within the financial covenants, but I think speculation over the rights issue began about a year ago amid the fallout from the Sasol's, Lake Charles project out in Louisiana, and obviously oil prices at half their current levels. And obviously what we also saw over and above that was Moody's, decision to cut the company's credit rating to junk. So nonetheless, I mean, the company came out yesterday to say that obviously they've reduced debt through the accelerated sale of their assets. Most notably, I think, was the offloading of around 50% in their base chemicals unit of Lake Charles to Lydonel Basel Industries for about $2 billion. So that kind of gives you a sense of where that $2 billion came from, to avoid that, share sale. But nonetheless, I think it's good for investors to have some clarity and certainty over how the balance sheet will be utilized and obviously how it will be dealt with. And I think the removal of the rights issue should be positive sentiment for the shares as the outlook becomes more dependent on what's happening with the booming cyclical conditions that we're seeing. And I think also what you're seeing is also successful execution on the Lake Charles Chemicals ramp-up project and obviously the business streamlining. I think that will have the potential to obviously generate some cash and obviously further alleviate any pressure on the shares And I think if you just look at the share price, I mean, it's soared more than 50% year to date. And I think that's outperforming the index at the moment, which is up about 13% during this period.
Yeah, that year-to-date number is quite staggering. It has had a massive run. Quick last question. Reserve Bank has green-lighted banks issuing dividends. I get why they, a year ago, in fact, 10 months ago, said, hey, you know, don't issue dividends just in case. But our banks are incredibly well-capitalized. They are taking a hit to their profits, but are still profitable. So it makes sense that we can see some dividends as results start to run in from next week.
Yeah, very much so. I think if you just, you know, cast your mind back to April last year, I mean, the central bank had extended regulatory relief to banks whilst urging them to preserve capital. I think this move was really designed to help lenders and their customers avoid loan defaults. But I think, you know, already some banks had already warned shareholders not to expect a payout. But nonetheless, I think the SARB has issued this guidance that, you know, banks can now go ahead and actually just pay dividends and bonuses. In November, they'd already said that the ruling would be lifted, especially with South Africa, you know, emerging from this uncertainty caused by the pandemic. But I think the real game changer for all of this may be the international rollout of vaccines, which has prompted the SARB to actually revise their global growth forecast for 2021. And obviously, banks are sufficiently capitalized and have showed resilience, and therefore they're in a better position to pay out dividends. I think if you look at some of the banks, Investec unexpectedly announced the first half dividend in November last year, whilst the other South African banks such as First Rand and obviously Standard Bank held off in 2020. So they are expected to resume payments to shareholders after last year, where they raised, you know, significant rainy day provisions to help some of the loans in the bank. So nonetheless, I think it's quite a good move, and I think some of the shareholders will benefit from this move.
Yeah, and as you say, giant rainy day provisions now sitting at the center. If those aren't needed, they come back as well. Mateta Tulari, Head FX Execution RMB, sir, appreciate your early morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting now with Peter Munford. He's the CEO of Supergroup. They had results for 6 months ending December. Revenue was up by 5.8%. Headline earnings up 4.7%. Really strong cash generation from operations. That up, 23.5% to $2.5 billion. No dividend declared. Peter, appreciate your time. If we look at calendar year 2020, which for you was, you know, half of one financial year and the 6 months of the new year, the second half, undeniably tough, but I mean, compared to the first half of calendar year, a markedly, I don't want to say simpler, but less tough period.
Yes, Simon, I think that is fair comment. Still a very, very tough period. And I think our results were really testimony to some of the initiatives that were begun in the first half of calendar 2020, where, for example, we rationalized our branch network in Germany. We took out transshipment points. We drove significant cost out of that business. And despite the fact that automotive parts volumes are still down a further 8% in this period compared to prior, we've performed very strongly with a very significant turnaround in Germany, in the German results. And the same applies, in a sense, in South Africa, where the consumer's under huge pressure. So we've had to drive a lot of cost out of our SG Consumer and SG Convenience businesses, but the performance is more strong, comparatively speaking, than it was last year.
You, of course, came back to Supergroup back in 2008. If I recall, into the supply chain division, took over as CEO in 2009, right-sized the business now. Fast forward to 2020. I mean, fair to say that companies like Supergroup and others, once the pandemic is behind us, and it will be in time, are in a sort of almost ironic sense going to come out of this a stronger, leaner, better operation?
Yes, I think so, Simon. I think you've touched on the one area that we've gone through significant rationalization and refocusing and, you know, really worked hard to be the lowest cost producer in the various sectors. But the other area, of course, is this period has forced you to really advance technologically speaking.
Yeah.
So, you know, your electronic trading platforms, digitization, and those elements have already been enhanced quite dramatically, which enables us, for example, to do some electronic trade even when our business in the UK is currently in lockdown. We've been able to do some trading on a click and collect electronic type platform where you've got virtual warehouses and the like and virtual dealership floors, etc. So yeah, I think you're right. We will be stronger when we get the other side, and hopefully we will in the not too distant future.
And of course, I mean, you're geographically well diversified now. South Africa is still your biggest in terms of revenue and profit, but even SA is less than 50% for this last period. I imagine it sort of helped a bit. I mean, you mentioned, you know, UK and hard lockdown. You could do some click and collect, but at the same point, Australia was sort of opening up. Different markets, perhaps at different stages of their lockdown, sort of gives you a little more flexibility.
Absolutely right, Simon. That's absolutely correct as well. And you've seen the benefit in these numbers of a strong SG Fleet performance in Australia. And there's no doubt that geographic diversification has been useful at a time like it is now. And thank goodness we're not in a hard lockdown, because obviously the pain levels are quite high in the UK at the moment.
You mentioned dealerships. You've got the UK, which is a more recent acquisition. You've got local as well. In both cases, you saw used car sales picking up a fair bit. Two questions on that. Obviously, a used car is a cheaper purchase. Is there much difference in the margin for you?
There's not a significant difference. In fact, used vehicle margins are slightly higher than new vehicles from a dealership perspective.
Okay. And the second point then, I mean, we're obviously seeing a lot of used vehicle sales. I'm imagining, and maybe I'm wrong, you can correct me if I am, someone who perhaps would have bought a new vehicle, shopped down to a used vehicle. Does that have an implication down the line in terms of parts, service, maintenance? Because obviously with a new vehicle, that's not an insignificant sort of a revenue for yourself.
Yes, I think a lot of the used vehicles that we deal in are still in service plans, so they tend to be vehicles of, you know, from 1 year onwards in age, but not past about 4 years. So they still have service plans underpinning most of those vehicles. But there's been a very interesting trend, Simon, in that you know, you had a lot of original equipment manufacturers going into lockdowns in the first half of calendar 2020, which has put significant shortage of new vehicles in the markets. Whether you talk the UK, South Africa, or Australia, in all three, we've seen a trend of shortage of critical models and therefore people buying the used vehicle. And I mean, that is very, very prevalent in South Africa at the moment. And in Australia, the same thing has happened. You've had really good secondhand vehicle prices on used vehicles because of that phenomena. And again, even in the UK, our used vehicle sales volumes were up very significantly, whereas new was not.
Okay, gotcha. I wanted the new car. I couldn't get it, so I went and got a second hand. But, you know, not that 10 year skedonk. Second hand could be 6 months, maybe a year. A last quick question. This is obviously 6 months to end December. Brexit was first of January. Have you seen any impact since the reporting season closed?
No, so the good news there is Brexit has sort of been resolved, and it's level playing fields in terms of automotive imports between the UK and Europe and vice versa. So that's all good. So there's no duty implications there. So we should be stable. Obviously, the difficulty now is the UK lockdown, which we think will go to the 31st of March. But then we're hoping there'll be some pent-up demand in the market, because certainly when the UK was open between July and October 2020, we saw some good demand.
Yeah, I think we've seen that. I mean, all over the place where people wanted to spend, couldn't spend. They've got that cash because they had nothing else to do with it. Peter Manford, CEO of Supergroup, really appreciate your time, sir.
Finance Minister Tito Mboweni will deliver his much-awaited 2021 budget to Parliament on Wednesday, the 24th of February. Join MoneyWeb in a free webinar with economists Dr. Iraj Abidian and Isaiah Mhlanga and tax expert Yolandi Esterhazen for a post-budget day analysis on Thursday, the 25th of February at 11 a.m. Go to moneyweb.co.za to register and take part in the conversation.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Joining now with Petri Radenhuis. He is, of course, founder of Herenia Capital Advisors. Petri, morning, appreciate your time. Jubilee Metal Group. Whenever I sort of talk small mining stocks, and we chatted with Orion a few weeks ago, folks are always, what about Jubilee, etc. Me and you actually spoke, and let me take that back. You raised it to me about a year and maybe a year and a half ago. It was 50 cents back then, now $3.46. This is a trailings operation, relatively small, but they got ops around the continent, and they're actually a decent looking little junior miner, and at 3.46 still looking decent.
Good morning. I think, you know, what we spoke about initially, that was on the Small Cap Investor Show, if I'm not mistaken, was sort of around their reinventing of themselves. So Jubilee's been around for a long time. They do have a giant sort of platinum deposit as well. But it's just too deep to be practical to get to, right? So they've been spending a lot of time and reinventing their business and sort of developing a particular way of reprocessing tailings. So reprocessing basically mine dumps and extracting metals from that. And they started sort of operations on that sort of new tailings venture of theirs about, I think it was the beginning of last year was the first time that they started operating, and they sort of have, you know, a whole bunch of offtake agreements and agreements with most of the mines around the platinum area, as well as, you know, some operations in a bit further north in Zambia and so on, where, you know, they have this sort of ramp up into production over the next couple of years. And their own projection for what their earnings is going to be looked absolutely ridiculous
two years ago. It did.
But if you look at what's happening, they're managing to stick to that schedule almost, and they're starting to make a bit of money, and the share price is starting to react.
I mean, it was. I remember when we were on air and I looked at this and I thought, you know, what they're promising is just crazy. But the point is that, as you say, they're delivering. And that caused you to make a comment to me over the weekend, which I thought was really spot on. And I'll quote you. You said, those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities often come once a year. I mean, and that's just it. I mean, you know, and my sense is that we never need to go all in on something, because it's never once in a lifetime. They come, maybe not every year, but they come along. You know, Jubilee's a seven-bagger in a year and a half.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's something I've been thinking about quite a bit, because obviously, you know, everyone asks, well, did you buy Sasol at 22? And the answer is no, I was too scared.
Me too.
And, you know, that feels like I've missed this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So it creates a lot of sort of dread and anxiety and all sorts of stuff. And I think also what happens is, you know, particularly in the shorter-term trading world, whether it's markets, it is, it's like this, you have to do it now. And also Bitcoin, right? Yeah, I mean, this thing is topical, and people are only going to talk about it even more for the rest of the year. So everybody's kind of chasing this, well, it's now or never. Well, I mean, I've been at this now for like 12 years or something. And every time, almost every year, there's this chance where you think, well, if I'd taken this, it would have changed my life, right? Because I remember a couple of years ago, AGL, Anglo American. I mean, they were sub 45 Rand at one point, and they're back at 600 now.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, 5-6 years down the line. So this market provides an endless opportunity, or an endless string of opportunities that sometimes seem once in a lifetime. But if you're patient enough, you're going to see a couple of those a decade, or at least one a year.
Yeah, it seems. You're going to get many, many lifetimes in that market. We'll leave that there. Petri Radenhuis, founder of Herenia Capital Advisors. Appreciate your early morning. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 30. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. Our poll today around Sasol. Sasol escaped a huge rights issue. Did this surprise you? The answer is yes, really did expect one. That's where I fall. Nope, management are tops. Or perhaps you say still got too much debt. You'll find that on our Twitter account at MoneyWeb. Remember, tomorrow after the budget, I'll be on SAFM with an expert panel to unpack the details. That'll kick off as soon as Minister Mboweni stops speaking. And that's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available, website, app, and wherever good podcasts are aggregated. A huge thanks to my team, Eddie Cordora Masekla, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.